It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll hear the tall tale of Clifford Thompson, the tallest Wisconsinite who ever lived. That's in today's edition of Wisconsin Legends.
First, more than 750 hospitals around the nation could be facing penalties as the federal government cracks down on patient injuries and infections. That's based on recently released data from the government and analyzed for Kaiser Health News.
65 hospitals made the list in Wisconsin, though many will probably avoid penalty, according to the latest report from the Wisconsin Hospital Association.
Joining us now to talk about the possible infractions and how we got here is Jordan Rao, senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. Jordan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So more than 750 hospitals across the nation are facing possible penalties due to patient injuries and infections. This is part of the Affordable Care Act. Can you give us a sense of what kinds of problems this is trying to address?
Well, infections are a major problem in hospitals around the country. Even though rates have been dropping, they're still very high. And we're seeing new crops of infections and bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics. So it's a growing problem, as well as you have problems such as slips and falls and blood clots and bed sores, basically things where patients come into the hospital and they end up leaving worse than they were when they came in.
And what kinds of penalties are we talking about?
The government is going to, of all the hospitals that it assesses, it's going to take the quarter hospitals that are worse, and it's going to reduce their payments through Medicare by 1% over the course of a year starting in October. So every time a Medicare patient comes in for, say, a knee replacement, the hospital is only going to get 99% of payment for that. So it's, while it's not going to knock hospitals out of business, that certainly is a ding on the bottom line that's intended to really focus the attention not just of doctors and nurses, but also the hospital leadership, board of trustees, investors, whoever, on the importance of cutting down on complications and infections.
Now, as I understand it, these are preliminary results. Does this mean that some of the hospitals that showed up on this list could still kind of clean up their act and escape penalty?
Yeah, the preliminary numbers are based on two-thirds of the total data that will be used. There's one more year of infection data that the government needs to factor in. So it's still pretty fluid. Now, the way that they do it is they give every hospital a score from 1 to 10. If you're really, really high on there, 9 or 10, it's going to be very unlikely that those hospitals are going to avoid being penalized. And likewise, if your score is very, very low, say, below a 5, it's quite likely that you're going to stay that way because, for the most part, infections don't change that much over time rates. However, in a lot of these cases, you're actually dealing with fairly small numbers of infections and complications, so one or two could knock a hospital over the line one way or the other.
Yeah, how are hospitals being measured on this?
They're being measured on there are two major types of infections that they're being measured on. One are called CLABSIs, and these are infections from central lines or catheters that are put into veins. And hospitals use these regularly to pump in saline or chemotherapy or antibiotics into patients. And often these become sort of freeways of infections because bacteria will get in and go straight into the bloodstream. So that's one. The second one is called a CAUTI, and it's a catheter-associated urinary tract infection. And these are catheters that are directed into the bladder, and they remove urine. And so that's, obviously important when patients aren't able to get up and go to the bathroom. So those are the two major things that the government is looking at. But they're also looking at, as I mentioned, a bunch of other adverse events, like slips and falls and lacerations during surgery.
Now, it sounds like some of the major teaching hospitals may be more vulnerable because, I guess, of the large amount of things that they go there and maybe conflicting priorities. Can you give a sense of what the teaching hospitals are up against?
One of the surprising results of of our look at the preliminary penalties was the huge proportion of teaching hospitals that received them, 54% nationwide. And again, this is, overall, it's just a quarter of hospitals that would get them, but 54% are teaching hospitals. And so that's raised a lot of questions. On the one hand, is it possible that there's something wrong with these measures, that they're not taking into account the relative sickness of patients, or the fact that these hospitals just tend to do more things where patients need catheters, for instance? Or on the other hand, is there something fundamentally flawed about teaching hospitals, that they don't place as much attention on patient safety, that they're distracted, that, you know, in the midst of, you know, having residents round and dealing with a lot of very, very complex research, that they're sort of neglecting the most simple things? And these are very, very hotly debated and I think unresolved questions.
UW Health here in Madison, Wisconsin, is on that preliminary list as an example of one of these big teaching hospitals. We also have a number of smaller hospitals, rural hospitals. How is it going to affect them?
Well, the most rural hospitals, the ones that are designated as critical access hospitals by the government, are exempted from this program, so they won't be affected at all in this year. In the future, they might be factored in, but right now they're left out. But there are community hospitals. There's a total of 65 hospitals in Wisconsin that are eligible for the penalties. And of those, about 35% were designated as having the preliminary penalties. And that's a very high proportion compared to other states. And whether that is something particular to Wisconsin hospitals or if it's just sort of the luck of the draw with running these numbers and it's sort of statistical noise isn't clear.
Is there any danger that some hospitals could try to underreport their numbers of infections or other instances of hospital harm to escape notice and avoid penalties?
That's a great question, and it's always possible. There has been some concern that some states that mandate reporting of infections, that the infection rates are higher than others. But for some of this stuff, first of all, a third of it is based on Medicare billing records. So there's not as much leeway, and there are significant penalties if you underreport. And then the other information is surveillance infection rates as reported to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And so, you know, to avoid the penalty, you're sort of engaging in a fairly significant government, you know, I hesitate to say conspiracy, but, you know, something that's unethical and potentially illegal. So I sort of wonder whether for that it's worth the risk for any hospital to really avoid reporting these.
Would you say that this is driven largely by concern about some of these antibiotic-resistant bacteria that are out there and costs, or is it something else?
It is part of, I mean, there's certainly a lot of it that's concerned with the antibiotic-resistant bacteria and for the amount of damage that is done to patients. I mean, 1 in 8 patients suffers a hospital-acquired condition, you know, something that was potentially avoidable. So that is a major concern. And then more broadly, it's about steering the gigantic ship of Medicare payment in a different way, because historically Medicare has pays just a flat fee for each hospital, no matter how your patient turns out. You know, I mean, they adjust it for what the patient is in there for and how sick they might be and such like that. But you get the, you know, it's sort of like lawyers, you know, you just get, you know, you do a great job, you win the case, you lose the case, you get paid the same way. And so that's something that everyone is, or not everyone, but a lot of policy people are unhappy with. And so this is part of a broader move to say, you know what, we're going to start paying our hospitals and then eventually our doctors and nursing homes and all our healthcare providers. We're going to take into account what good a job they do when we're paying them, and maybe that'll incentivize them to pay a lot more attention to quality and a bit less to the bottom line.
And so far, patient advocacy groups, they're happy with this. But what about the hospitals and medical community in general? What are they saying, especially some of these institutions that have been red flagged for now?
I would say they're going through the Kubler-Ross seven stages of grief and denial. You know, there's some that see this coming. I mean, it's been in law since 2010 and are just sort of resigned to it. There are some that feel that have been way ahead of the curve anyway and wanting to curb infections and conditions, which obviously expose them to malpractice and to fines as well as to having to pay, you know, costs to take care of the problems. And then there are others that are really, really unhappy, that feel that the program is unfair because even if your rates are lower, going down, you can still be penalized. You're just being compared to everybody else, that for all the stuff that you and I have been talking about, that it may not be a level playing field. And so they're, you know, just angry and displeased.
Now, there are some reports that, in general, rates of infection are falling. So why do we need this now?
Well, some of it was, the latest reports have had that for some these types of accidents, they are going down. Surgical site infections, for instance, were down 20% over a four-year period. But in others, they're pretty flat. In terms of the urinary tract infections, they've actually crept up a little bit. And as we've mentioned, there's not just infections that are antibiotic-resistant like MRSA and C. diff that are coming, but an even worse strain that there's no known cure or treatment for that are becoming of increased worry. So even though they may be dropping, they're still not at the bottom. And then the other thing is that for a lot of this stuff, the view is that they really are preventable, that if you follow pretty clear protocols about how to handle a catheter and sterilization and when to remove it, which is earlier rather than later, you should be able to avoid most of these things.
Jordan, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That was Jordan Rao, senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News.